Hi, I'm Leon Charney, and this is the Leon Charney Report. And if you remember last week, we promised you some more titillating anecdotes and conversations and historical things that you probably never knew about the Jews and the conspiracy against the Jews by the Western democracies, so-called democracies. And it's with John Loftus, and it's called The Secret War Against the Jews. St. Martin's Press at your local bookstore. John, we left off last week with some conversation about Georgie boy, George Bush. You have a chapter, I think, called George's Inner Sanctum. What did you mean by that?
There was a Vice President George Bush had his own spy office in the White House.
Did Reagan know that?
Reagan signed a national security order, of which I have a copy.
Did he know what he signed?
Reagan was a nice guy who read his speech as well, but I don't think he quite knew what he was doing. Years later, when Bush shifted the blame from his vice president's office back to Reagan's staff, Reagan caught all the blame for Iran-Contra. And that's why I'm told that Reagan told Bill Clinton when they first met that that's why Reagan voted for him. And that's why Nancy Reagan...
Reagan voted for whom?
Clinton.
He did?
Told Clinton that.
Is that public?
Yeah, it was in, one of the White House staffers leaked it right after it happened.
Really?
And why do you think that Nancy publicly opposed Oliver North and had to be dragged to give just
stand behind her husband. Senatorial election, you mean?
Yeah, and had to be dragged beside her husband to endorse Bush's run for the presidency. George Bush was the guy who ran covert operations for the Reagan administration. He was a former head of CIA. Casey needed a place where they could run programs.
Bill Casey, the CIA director.
Yep.
Dead.
Casey knew that he couldn't run a lot of covert ops through CIA because the guys in CIA would tell Congress. By and large, most of the people in CIA are law-abiding, and they follow the rules.
All right, who was in his inner sanctum?
Donald Gregg reported to Bush, and the documents show that the guy in charge of contacts was Oliver North.
Who was Gregg?
Don Gregg was a former CIA officer who had served with Gregg previously.
With Bush, you mean?
With Bush, and had known North from the Vietnam days. But... you know, Gregg was one of the old boys that came in from CIA with Bush. Now, North is on the documents as working for Bush in 1982. Now, North has publicly denied ever having been in Bush's chain of command. The new documents we got out show that North is a liar.
Do you think he'd be known in the community for his veracity after his testimony before the Senate committees?
Ollie has a short and selective memory.
Okay. I'm not sure he has a short or selective. I don't know what he has.
He is a guy that has made more blunders and gotten away with it. My favorite.
Well, a lot of people got killed because of Ollie North, I think. Am I right? Amiram Nir.
I don't know.
Israeli was for Shimon Peres the terrorist in charge of terrorism for Shimon Peres while he was prime minister. Died somehow in Mexico in a plane crash.
Yeah, he was one of seven people who had short and unexplained deaths. But I think the gossip isn't only that, is that that was arranged by British intelligence. I'll tell you why I say that. In North's declassified diary is a memo from North of a conversation with Amiram Nir.
Amiram.
And Nir says, I have met with this Syrian agent, and he has told me all about the British connection. All right. The address that Nir gives is a fortress-like residence in Marbella, Spain. That's the home of Manzer Alcazar. North had one of the leading Syrian terrorists in the world on his payroll. Nir didn't know who Alcazar was because the Mossad was trying to penetrate Alcazar's operation. The Mossad had two agents killed trying to get close to the guy. Here's Nir meeting with him because he's working with North on the Iran-Contra deal.
So the Mossad was chasing this guy and using it in a meeting with him?
Mossad was chasing him. Interpol was chasing him. We had an entire Interpol conference about
it. And who arranged that meeting? Ollie North?
Yeah. And it's in North's diary, near his meeting with Manzer Alcazar, reporting on the progress of trading arms to Iran. See, before the Israelis were brought in, we brought you guys in as the scapegoats for the Iran hostage deal.
I'm American like you are.
Well, okay. But
I'm not nervous. I can't talk anymore.
We were using the Syrians as our secret conduit for laundering arms to Iran. That's what Vice President Bush's job was.
You were using the Syrians to launder arms to Iran.
That's right. And it was a scandalous operation.
And so you shifted the blame onto Israel.
Yeah, we had to, because north nor near had ever done a background check on Mansour al-Qasar. The Mossad could have told him. The CIA could have told him who Mansour was. Everybody, Reader's Digest had an article describing Mansour al-Qasar as horrible terrorist. Can you believe it? Any dentist office in America knew more about Mansour al-Qasar than all of the North.
Believe. No, it's really hard to believe. Are you sure?
Yeah.
You know who Joe Palooka was? Dick Tracy? Batman?
Listen.
What happened to this?
The hardest thing for people to believe is that our intelligence community could be so stupid as to do these things.
I want a reduction in my taxes.
Well,
I'm like you are. I'm economics.
We had a Syrian terrorist on the payroll.
Okay, so you had a Syrian terrorist on a payroll. What happened to this guy?
Oh, he was great. While he was working for Al North, he was charged with hijacking the Achille Lauro. As a matter of fact, he was just tried for that in last month in Spain, but he was acquitted. It wasn't surprising. On the first day of court, Mansour got up and threatened to expose a scandal in the Spanish government. The prosecution's chief witness fell out a window. Another one had his kids kidnapped. All the American DEA evidence was excluded from evidence. So he walked. So, I went to the guy who was in the CIA and I showed him all these documents, payment records, $1 million at a time to Mansour from North Swiss bank account.
What did they say?
He's stunned. He couldn't believe it.
Really?
He was sick.
So who knew about this? Did George Bush know about it? It's hard to know.
It's hard to know. The White House diaries show that North was putting together this crazy kidnap plan. He wanted to go kidnap terrorists. All right? And the paperwork on the plan, the North's diary shows that it went to Gregg to be approved by Bush. I can't prove that George Bush signed off on it. But what happened immediately afterwards is that Bill Casey picked one of his old buddies to go to Lebanon to begin recruiting for the program.
Is that Buckley?
That's why Buckley, when Buckley was kidnapped.
The fellow was assassinated.
Yeah, but he was tortured to death first by one of Mansour's associates. They put balloons down Buckley's throat. They could increase the air pressure and torture him from the inside so the bruises wouldn't show. And they were getting every dirty trick that Buckley knew about Casey and Bush. And Buckley spilled everything.
So they debriefed him.
Totally.
In a terrible
way. They went too far. They traumatized his lungs, so Buckley developed massive pneumonia and drowned in his own fluids. But that's why Bush was so adamant to pay any price to ransom Buckley back. And so we were paying a Syrian terrorist to ransom our own
hostage. So that's the way North got to the Syrian terrorist.
Yeah.
And then he tried to use him for other things. Yeah,
but there was one screw up. The first arms.
Wasn't Khashoggi involved in this thing at all?
Peripheral player, yeah. He was involved in the financing on the side. Those guys were on the Israeli side. They were brought in as the scapegoats. We asked the Israelis to smuggle low-level stuff, old spare parts for Hawk radars, the obsolete version of the TOW. Okay, we gave you guys, the Israelis, the junk to send through.
Who asked the Israelis to do this?
Bill Casey. Yeah, there's a good Israeli book on this that talks about Casey asked Israelis 4 or 5 times, and they kept turning him down. Right. It wasn't an official American-approved program.
Basically, the Israelis liked Casey.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They did. They thought he was a strong operator for them. Well, he was working under Reagan. The Israelis basically liked Reagan because he armed them to the teeth. Ronald Reagan was thought of very highly by a lot of top Israelis because he armed them very well. And I got to believe that Reagan was a pro-Israel person.
Ronald Reagan in his heart was, but... there are a lot of people around. Reagan delegated his power.
Yeah.
Foreign policy, covert operations, that went to the vice president and to George and to Baker.
Well, he had an astrologer with his wife. She did everything.
But, I mean, the people under Reagan were vehemently anti-Israel.
You're talking about...
Baker?
Clark was in there at that time. You know him?
Yeah. Well, Clark, less
so. Talking about Baker, Ed Meese? You got anything on Ed Meese? I mean, why leave anybody out?
There was some suspicion on the part of the special prosecutor that Ed Meese may have been intricately involved in the cover-up.
No proof.
Not indictable proof. I'll be honest. I never liked Ed Meese. I figured his only qualification was attorney general.
I got a feeling that he feels the same about you.
Yeah, it's.
And he's the third. You're only John Loftus, so be careful. We'll be back in 1 minute after a commercial break to continue with John Loftus and our series on the secret war against the Jews. What a book. I'm telling you, it's spellbinding. So if you're not watching this show or after the show, go out and buy it. We'll see you in a minute after commercial break.
It's one of the many ways to fight osteoarthritis pain. For more information on managing pain, go to fightarthritispain.org.
Kitchen surfaces, utensils, and hands with soapy water. 1 in 6 Americans will get sick from food poisoning this year. Keep your family safer. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov.
Can you consent with me? Imagine what you'd see if every child had a book to read.
Because every kid across the nation deserves a book to read. And we can make it happen right now.
No, I don't know what you've been told.
Read to a child today and spark a lifetime of ambition.
The average text takes your eyes off the road for nearly 5 seconds.
Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. Go to discovertheforest.org.
Everywhere are finding ways to keep kids active and healthy.
Works every time.
Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov.
Who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Maybe you should go to your shelter and get a mature dog who will make your blues disappear. How's that for tricks? I got picked. Wow.
We're back. We're continuing our conversation with John Loftus, who's written The Secret War Against the Jews. And I think it's the first time in the history of this show that we've had three consecutive shows about a topic. But this is the world. I mean, this is not just a topic. So Bush is—you've wiped him out. Let's see. Let's go to the Vatican. Let's travel around a little bit. How about the popes? How good were they to the Jews?
This is embarrassing for me.
A lot of Nazi channels, huh?
Well,
you must feel perturbed about that as an Irish Catholic.
It bothered me a lot. I think that, to be fair, though, there's been a real rumor that, like, Pope Pius XII was pro-Hitler and liked the Nazis during the war. The intelligence files show the opposite. The Pope was trying to ransom Jews and was actually working with the British Secret Service to assassinate Hitler. It didn't work out. What the Pope did after the war was obscene. The British Secret Service asked the Vatican to set up a smuggling conduit to smuggle the Nazis out. And the Vatican, well, 99% of the Catholic Church wasn't involved, but yes, this tiny group of Italian clerics were
smuggled Nazis out?
They had a whole network.
To where? Argentina?
Argentina, Australia, Canada,
Syria,
the United States,
Egypt.
Syria. Yeah. I mean, Simon Wiesenthal was wrong. There was no Odessa system. There was the British Secret Service in the Vatican. It was called Project Ratlines. The Nazis came from Austria and Italy down to Genoa. They had fleets of ships that took them around the world. Now, I know this sounds bizarre, but I had an agent who spoke Croatian, and we had him pretend to be a young fascist. And we had him tape record all of the surviving priests who worked in the Nazi smuggling program. And they all bragged about what they had done with the British to rescue the Nazis.
Why would a priest brag about that?
This was how they had saved these brave fellows who were, after all, good Catholics.
Nazis?
Yeah, they were Nazis. But they were anti-communist.
How many Catholics were Nazis?
Unfortunately, a lot. Most
really?
Of the Central European nations were Catholic, yeah.
What happens if you... Have you
Monsignor Tiso?
Have you? Yeah, we know a few of them. Have you approached the Vatican on this at all?
Yeah.
No comment?
There was one... Well, we did a book, I should explain, called Unholy Trinity, which is... This book builds on it. We had all of the British and American records. Mr. Gowan, for example, who's in the studio tonight, had an agent who went into the Vatican and found the Vatican's records of Nazi smuggling. Mr. Gowan investigated it. They were going to arrest one of the top Nazis, Ante Pavelich, from Croatia, living in the Vatican. And orders came down to the Americans, hands off. But guys like Mr. Gowan, the Nazi hunters, they came too close. And their careers were ruined. But the State Department, Alan Dulles and his friends, took over the Nazi smuggling program in the Vatican from the British. We gave it a new code name, Operation Headache Boat Hill. That's how we got rid of guys like Klaus Barbie.
Let's talk about the Dulles boys. They practically ran the nation under Eisenhower because one was Secretary of State, the other guy was head of the CIA. And they were basically Wall Street lawyers who really were interested in oil and greed. This is what you point out in your book.
Yeah.
And they didn't care how they achieved their ends. No means was impossible for them. Were they basically anti-Semitic or just greedy?
I think just greedy. Before he died, I interviewed Justice Goldberg. He had been an intelligence officer.
Right.
I mean, he knew the Dulles brothers. And his opinion was the Dulles brothers were traitors.
You got that on a record?
Yeah. They gave aid and comfort to the enemy in wartime. The Dulles brothers represented most of the American investors who moved the money from the American Depression. They invested in Germany. 70% of the money that went to build up the Third Reich's war machine came out of the U.S. The Dulles brothers were in the thick of it, along with Bush's grandfather.
You claim they even were involved with some of the Nazi intelligence characters.
Yes. There was a very controversial Nazi record that was found after the war. Prince Hohenlohe, who was an SS officer, and of his meetings with Alan Dulles. And they were negotiating ways to form an alliance between the Nazis and England to go against the Russians. Dulles wasn't authorized to do any of this. And he was just, you know, the Jews didn't ignore Dulles. He was frankly anti-Semitic in his comments.
Dulles and Eisenhower stopped the Israelis in 1956 during that war,
yeah.
When the Suez War.
We betrayed
when Israel, the French, and the British had a secret deal, and Eisenhower really came down very hard against the Israelis at that time, especially Dulles. Was Eisenhower part of this play?
Eisenhower was like Reagan. Okay,
playing
he wanted
golf.
Plausible deniability. Let me go play golf. We had two Dulles brothers, Alan, the CIA guy, is talking with the British, saying, "Oh, this sounds great. You and the Israelis are going to take over the Suez Canal, and you're going to boot all the Nasser out. Sounds good. Sounds good." A little wink and a nod. The British think they have clearance. As soon as the British go in, John Foster Dulles, Allison's brother, who is Secretary of State, says, oh, this is terrible. No one told me about it. And so the Americans embargo all sorts of things. The British pound goes down the toilet, and we come out on Nasser's side. So we sandbagged the British. We sandbagged Israel. And we got our little foothold in Egypt. A lot of good it did us.
Didn't help.
No.
Rockefeller, Nelson.
Nelson Rockefeller. Now, there was a piece of work. In his youth, Nelson Rockefeller actually went to the White House and said, I want Roosevelt to give me Latin America because there's going to be a war coming up and we can steal all of the British markets in Latin America.
For what?
American business.
Oh.
You know,
okay.
Screw the British are fighting the Nazis. We can make a profit here. All right? For whatever reason, Nelson Rockefeller ended up being our intelligence chief in Latin America during World War II. And he made a profit on both sides of the war. Standard Oil Company and some.
How do you confirm this? You got any notes on this?
Sure. There've been a couple of authors now that have gone through the recently declassified files for Standard Oil, which, by the way, was tried. You know, some of these companies, like Texaco, after the war, were found by U.S. courts to have given collaboration to the Nazis. I mean, the records became public. There were hearings held in the Senate. This was a minor national scandal. To this day, the Texaco has the Texaco Opera Hour. That was their first public relations thing to atone for all the bad PR that they were getting. This really happened. We had American companies that.
All right, so Nelson.
Dollars Iberalis.
Rockefeller's now got a lot of friends in Latin America. Now Palestine is to be partitioned around November, in the November 1947.
Yeah,
Israel's in big trouble. Palestine, the Jewish agency basically was in big trouble. Ben-Gurion was really in trouble. So he sends over some guys to have a heart-to-heart talk with Nelson and say, look, we're going to expose you, Nelson, and show you're basically a Nazi lover unless you grab five more votes from Guatemala, from Chile, from who knows what. Is that the story?
Well, somewhat. Not that he was a Nazi lover, but that he was a Nazi supplier, and he dealt with the Nazis. And they basically said to Nelson, you've got 3 days before the vote. We know that we have
you
to
turn. You know the Israeli who's there?
It was an assistant to Reuven Shiloah.
Shiloah was one of the first one of the founding members of the intelligence in Israel.
Yeah.
A very great man.
Yeah, and
so they lay
and hugely supportive of America. So the Shiloah strategy was that to put the pressure on Rockefeller because in 3 days Rockefeller turned around every nation in Latin America. They either voted in favor of Israel or abstained.
That's a fact.
Yeah, that's how they reached the 2/3 majority.
So it was a blackmail, in a sense.
Yeah. But Rockefeller had a blackmail in return. He said to the Israelis, look, if we do this, there will never be any Nazi hunting in the government of Israel. You can have vengeance or you can have a country, but you can't have both. And it was a devil's bargain, but what choice did Ben-Gurion have?
Is that why so no more prosecutions of Nazis other than Adolf Eichmann by the Israeli government?
Yeah. Eichmann was an exception. He was a mass murderer, and it was thought enough time had passed since Rockefeller that... it wouldn't be a problem. But to this day, Israel has no central index of wanted Nazi war criminals. They had no central office for hunting Nazis. And to be fair, it wasn't their job. Hunting Nazis was a job for countries like ours that gave them shelter.
Wiesenthal, have you met him?
Yes, several times.
Was he effective?
Good man. But I think that Simon Wiesenthal was constrained.
He didn't have funding and, it was limited.
The Israeli point of view at the time was, we don't want to open the Nazi question. So there were some Nazis that Simon Wiesenthal did not go after. I read Simon Wiesenthal's FBI file.
The French woman who's not Jewish, Nazi hunter.
Beate Klarsfeld.
Yeah, you met her too?
No, never met her. No.
Interesting lady.
Yeah.
Fascinating lady.
Yeah.
We're down to Palestine. It's now partitioned. Israel's now going to war, and they're... 100 million Arabs against, at that time, about 800,000 Jews. How'd they win the war?
It was the Czech arms that were airlifted, and we had an American air base inside the Iron Curtain. American cargo planes were flying airplanes in. The Czechs built the Messerschmitt fighter for the Nazis. It was a really good one. So they took the wings off and packed the planes inside these American cargo planes and flew them to Tel Aviv. And it was that instant Israeli air force that actually stopped the Egyptian tanks.
You remember the name of Bevin, the foreign secretary of Britain?
Ah, yeah.
Big anti-Semite?
Yeah, I'm afraid he was, quite a bit. There were, most of these guys were just businessmen, all right? The joke was if Moses had turned right and settled in Kuwait, it would be a big fight between Britain and the United States to see which would have Israel become part of our nations, you know, whether Israel would have been the 51st state or part of the Commonwealth. But Israel had no oil.
All right, we got to cut for commercial break, and we'll come back with John Loftus with the secret war against the Jews. But I'm going to talk about this interesting posing of a British spy, so to speak, at the CIA in Washington all the time, or Virginia, wherever they are, and the same thing for an American in London or wherever they are. And what they do is they send intelligence back to these people, so they don't need a warrant to try and tape your telephone conversations. Heavy stuff. We'll be back.
Up to 40% of businesses never recover after experiencing a major disaster. Make a plan at ready.gov/business.
Hands can do incredible things. Now they can even help save a life with hands-only CPR. If you see an adult suddenly collapse, just call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of the chest until help arrives. Learn more at handsonlycpr.org.
Up to 40% of businesses never recover after experiencing a major disaster. Make a plan at ready.gov/business.
It's one of the many ways to fight osteoarthritis pain. For more information on managing pain, go to fightarthritispain.org.
Full life, measured in seats, starts with the right ones early on. Car crashes are the number one killer of children 1 through 13. Learn how to prevent deaths and injuries by using the right car seat for your child's age and size.
Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. Go to discovertheforest.org.
Every book is an adventure waiting to come to life. Visit new worlds. Encounter new friends. And discover the power of reading. Go to read.gov to read A Princess of Mars, the first novel to feature John Carter. A new world awaits. Read.
I help you find a home.
I help you find a home.
Hey, maybe you'll be nobody ever picks me. Maybe they're looking for somebody different. Pick me. Well, the shelter's closing up for another day. We didn't get picked. I know. Tomorrow. Guaranteed.
We're back. We're continuing our conversation with John Loftus, the second in the series of conversations. You've seen him last week. You see him now. And you will see him next week, and you will see him live. We will go live and take questions from the audience, because I'm sure many of you have a lot of questions to ask John Loftus about what happened in the world since Ibn Saud took over Saudi Arabia and what happened to George Bush. By the way, George Bush, you told me his son now has an exclusive contract to rebuild Kuwait?
Yeah, there's not rebuild all of Kuwait, but he got a very nice, juicy contract and managed to beat out all the other bidders, despite the fact that his company had no expertise whatsoever in...
That's public knowledge.
Yeah, it's public knowledge. Yeah. So...
It's a little sickening, isn't it?
To the victors go the spoils.
Terrible. Terrible story. Israel was founded. We're now back to Ben-Gurion, who... He was a clever man, obviously.
Yeah. Well, there were hard times.
And let's talk about James Angleton, who many think was a super spy. He held the Israeli desk, and the Israelis thought he was the best thing since whipped cream and lox and bagels.
Well, I'll just say Israeli intelligence doesn't feel that way. James Angleton was a guy who, for all of his life, had the Vatican, the Israeli desk. The early Zionists caught Angleton smuggling Nazis. All right, Angleton's father was an admitted fascist, and he was involved in the smuggling the Nazi money out. Angleton was trapped. And so the Zionists made a deal. For every truckload of the Nazis you bring out a truckload of Jews. All right. Angleton was in a hard corner. Angleton's patron at that time was Alan Dulles. And they had to be very sensitive about this because Truman got reelected. This was a big surprise. They thought President Dewey was going to be in. So Angleton's job was to keep the Israelis quiet, not to bring out this ugly little chapter. And so... For all of his life, Angleton kept this deal. But in effect, it was the Israelis were blackmailing Angleton, right? Because they had him caught with the Nazis. And Angleton was desperately looking for some way to get even. Now, after Angleton was fired from CIA, they went through his files and found out...
Why was he fired, by the way?
Spying on people. Operation Chaos. He was opening mail, listening to phone calls. And what no one realized was that it was aimed... primarily at Jews, at American Jews. Angleton was keeping an index of Jews in the American government and classifying them according to their degree of Jewishness. That would depend, you know, how much time we should spend wiretapping. To put it bluntly, Angleton was one of those guys who quietly went mad at CIA. He should have been fired years ago. But he was an evil, evil guy.
What happened to him? He died?
Yeah.
Natural death?
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible story.
Yeah,
and the Israeli intelligence knew about his background. That's why, in a sense, they could blackmail him too.
Mm-hmm.
So Israel survived by a lot of blackmail, according to you.
Well, you didn't have an army. You didn't have oil. You had a small home defense force that was very brave but often undermanned. You had to make do with the best of what they had, and they did pretty well.
How did the Israelis manage to track all these things? I mean, they were a really small unit in the 1940s. It wasn't. There was a Haganah then, and there was no army. It was just defense forces, Palmach.
I think you do what you have to do. Once you're the victim at the center, you know that there's nothing you can do but fight or die. It makes your choices a lot easier. And there were a lot of people, Jewish and non-Jewish, who felt horrified, and they were quietly helping the Israelis with information, with intelligence. There was one guy in Germany. Who was keeping track of a lot of the Nazis that were popping around and passing word to his Zionist friends. And what happened is one day, Zionist intelligence walked into a place called Pulak, a little compound in Germany, where we had dumped all of the German intelligence officers, all the Nazis that promised to God. That's where the West German Intelligence Service was founded. The Mossad moved in. That's where they received their first professional training. They knew where all the Nazis were in the German intelligence service, and that's why no Israeli spies ever been arrested in West Germany, and why Israeli intelligence was able to piggyback on everything that West German intelligence was doing.
You have a story in your book about the communist Jewish spies that really betrayed everybody.
Yeah, we started that in the last book. This is an amazing story. During World War II, the Nazis had a super spy ring, and it was codenamed Max, the Maximum Secret. And it was supposed to be a ring of white Russian Nazis who were spying for Hitler inside Stalin's military headquarters. Well, when the Nazis investigated, they found that the spy ring was actually run by Jews. And what was this? Fascist Jews. They were supposed to be helping Hitler because they wanted to keep their families from the concentration camps. Well, this Max spy ring was incredible. Every day they were giving Hitler's generals the entire Soviet order of battle. It was brilliant.
And disinformation.
Correct information.
Right.
Well, 99% of the time.
Right.
Yeah, except on certain days, like the Battle of Kursk, the Battle of Stalingrad, they weren't fascist Jews at all. They were working for Allied intelligence. They were working for Soviet intelligence.
And they were connected to Palestine?
Yeah, they were actually three sides. Hitler's generals thought that they were working for the Nazis.
Stalin thought they were working for
Soviet intelligence.
Ben-Gurion thought he had a spy network, and he did.
And so Ben-Gurion went to Stalin after the war and said, Ben-Gurion's agents, and said, we'll keep quiet about this, but we want something in return. We want a country.
And you want recognition, and Russia did recognize you.
Russia led the charge in the UN for the partition of Palestine.
Exactly.
They reversed, 40 years of Soviet anti-Semitic history in the Communist Party. Stalin used to denounce
Why would Stalin care if the Israelis knew?
If the Israelis talked, Stalin was trying to peddle this Max network to British intelligence and the CIA. All right?
Right.
So... And he did.
And basically they were Israeli agents, in a sense, at least leaking to Israelis.
What happened is, as soon as the vote for Israel went through, and they didn't need Stalin anymore, the Israelis told the Americans what was going on. All right? And to our shame, we didn't believe the Jews. Alan Dulles brought the Max network into the CIA during the Eisenhower administration.
There's documents on all this?
Yes. I have three volumes that were top secret files, were recently declassified. We used the Max network. The American name for it was NTS. That was this group of freedom fighters we had. The leader of the Max network was a long-term Soviet agent. All right. Even after the Jews warned us, we continued to use the white Russian side of it.
So they didn't want to believe the Israelis?
Teddy Kollek went into the CIA and told Angleton, this guy, Kim Philby, in British intelligence, is a communist. They laughed it off.
Teddy Kollek was originally a Mossad agent, wasn't he?
Yeah, before there was a Mossad.
Before.
Teddy Kollek was
a
spy.
In the old days. Nice man.
Yeah.
Great man.
Yeah, he was. He is.
All right. Did you ever talk to any of these old spies who worked in the Max connection or Max operation?
I interviewed the Americans who worked with them.
Did they emigrate to Israel or they stayed in
Russia? One of them did, but it was a very sensitive subject, and until the American files were declassified, no one in the world spoke about it, because the leader of Max, Prince Anton Terkel, a white Russian fascist, betrayed all of our CIA codes. He broadcast them prematurely in 1956, and the people of Budapest raced into the streets thinking the Americans are coming to liberate them from the Russians, and all that were in the suburbs were Russian tanks waiting to crush them.
Does your book in any way come to the conclusion that the Holocaust could have been averted or avoided?
Yeah, I think we quote one of the British generals who said, if we had been asked to launch a rescue plan, we could have done it. I saw the classified records where Roosevelt wanted to know why we couldn't do something. I mean, we were having empty ships coming back from Europe. We'd send ammo over and the ships coming back. We could have taken the Jews in. My God, we took in, by World War II, we must have had, nearly 5 million Jews in this country? They're, 6 million now?
Probably. No, it's 10 million, I think. I don't know. But,
Okay. Well, most of the Jews alive in the world live in America because we saved them in World War I. World War II, we didn't. We needed the manpower. We should have taken them in. But the British didn't want to.
Because of the oil.
The British didn't want. The British put it this way: if we pressure Hitler too hard to release the Jews, he'll probably do it. And where will the Jews go?
Is that right?
Yeah, it was cynical. I said in my book.
And Churchill felt the same way.
I'm afraid so. Churchill was reading the weekly reports of the SS mobile killing units. That was the first ultra code that was broken. When I went through American files, you know what we learned about the Holocaust? The earliest report I saw was dated September 1941. We were getting I was reading weekly body counts of the number of Jews being killed.
In the files, yeah. Secret files.
Yeah, in the U.S. military attaché
so
in Moscow.
So there's no question that Roosevelt knew it.
No.
But Roosevelt had a lot of Jewish people around him. He had Morgenthau. He had Bernie Baruch. He had, the judge, Rosamond. Did they know?
I don't know. I don't think that they were in on the ultra side of it. I don't think that they knew.
Did Herbert Hoover know? You don't know.
I can't say for sure. The top leaders of Allied intelligence knew for certain what was happening.
We didn't have a CIA in 1941, though.
No, we had U.S. Army military attachés in Moscow. Those were the files I was reading. The body counts were verified by the Polish underground.
And it says what? What does it say in those documents?
30,000 Jews. Killed
Jews.
Minsk week of in the city of Minsk. 1941. Yeah. We had actually even had some aerial overflights that were taken of the early killing centers in Minsk and Baranovich, where they were just doing mass murders with shooting on pits. We had photographs of them.
So Roosevelt made a policy decision?
Well, rather than risk a fight with the British, the Jews were just expendable to the war effort. And so as the inmates of Auschwitz watched in horror, Allied planes flew overhead and dropped their bombs on routine and targets further north. We could have bombed the killing centers.
Terrible.
You know, I learned three things in the Vols. The three great evils in the century were communism, fascism, and indifference. And indifference is the deadliest of the three. There weren't very many Jews, and no one really much cared about them.
But would you say that Roosevelt was anti-Semitic, or this was his policy?
No, he was trying to get a difficult job. The British were adamantly opposed to a rescue plan for the Jews.
Why?
Because if the Jews went to Palestine, it would disrupt the Arabs, disrupt the oil issue.
All
it would give Hitler a propaganda weapon. You know.
We're going to cut for a commercial break. This is, I say it all the time, it's very heavy. And the truth is that the British, after there was a Holocaust, put Jews in concentration camps or DP camps in Cyprus. They didn't let them get into Palestine. They didn't let them even come near their homeland. I mean,
worse than that. They armed the Arabs to destroy the Jewish state. I thought they could sweep you into the sea.
Tragic story. History is unbelievable. We'll be back after commercial break to continue with John Loftus and the secret war against the Jews.
Mom, can I have a dollar?
Yeah, it's right. I think my purse is upstairs on the bed.
It's not here.
Check the dining room.
No.
What about your sister's room?
It's not there either.
The upstairs closet? The downstairs closet.
There are no more closets.
Moms everywhere are finding ways to keep kids active and healthy. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov.
Abandoned and lost. From the dark, cold streets of the city, to a cage in the local shelter, to heaven, your lap.
Read to a child today and spark a lifetime of ambition.
Movement. Along with weight loss, it's one of the many ways to fight osteoarthritis pain. For more information on managing pain, go to fightarthritispain.org.
All right, guys, we got to be smarter about what we bite on, okay? I want everyone to go outside. We're going to run Red Rover on three.
What about you, Tony?
I'm going to run around in circles, flap my arms, and make engine noises like this.
When it comes to playing, we kids are the pros.
We're eating right, too.
We fuel up
to play 60.
Your school doesn't have a program?
Be a leader. Start one.
Click today and join the movement.
But it would be safe to keep your distance until there are secrets that make you smile.
Why the sources say that chicken soup has proven
has found their way out of this.
Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. Go to discovertheforest.org.
Nice.
Moms everywhere are finding ways to keep kids active and healthy.
Works every time.
Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov.
Who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Maybe you should go to your shelter and get a mature dog who will make your blues disappear. How's that for tricks? I got picked. Wow.
If you don't buy this book after the last segment, I don't know what you're going to read. I mean, this is unbelievable. And by the way, John told me that he did not write this book for Jews. He wrote it for Christians to understand the history of what happened for the last 50 years to the Jewish people, to Armenians and to Gypsies and to many other people who were devastated and killed and massacred and slaughtered by the Nazis. Well, let's talk about some great Frenchmen. De Gaulle, what did he do?
De Gaulle was the first of the Allied leaders to say, the war is over, let's recruit Nazis. The first. De Gaulle wanted to get those fascists from the Catholic states in Central Europe, Czechoslovakia, the western part of Yugoslavia. And he was the first to work with the Vatican on recruiting these guys. All right. There was, for example, giving it, there was a Hungarian Nazi by the name of Ferenc Vita. All right. Worked for French intelligence, and Vita went around recruiting other Nazis, and Vita was the link between the French and the Vatican. Vita later defected. He defected to an American intelligence officer in Rome. That intelligence officer, Bill Gowan, is in the studio with us tonight. And Vita told him how the French, under de Gaulle, were trying to make this buffer state of anti-communist Catholics between Germany and Russia. That was the French policy. De Gaulle authorized the hiding of Nazi scientists. Remember recently there was this sarin poison gas that they went off in Japan?
Yes.
The Nazi scientists that manufactured that were originally protected by the French, and it was tested in Algeria at a secret biological warfare base. So the French were the first to start the race for Nazi recruiting.
What was his reasoning for this?
Many of these people had worked for French intelligence before World War II. They weren't Nazis, they were just nationalists. And what it came down to the bottom line was power. The people wanted spies in case World War III broke out, who could help them infiltrate and reoccupy territory.
Wernher von Braun, the nuclear scientist, was he a Nazi?
Yeah. I mean, you know, under the standards that President Truman had announced, he should never have gotten into the country. Truman had told the military and the State Department, look, no one who was a voluntary member of the SS, no one who was wanted for war crimes, no one who did experiments on human beings. And the Army laughed and said, President Dewey will be in soon. And the State Department cooked the books. But what we didn't know was when the British and Americans were recruiting the Nazi scientists, the British advisor on who to recruit was Donald McLean, Kim Philby's buddy. Donald McLean was another communist spy. So the Russians were getting the best of the Nazi rocket scientists. We were getting the bureaucrats like von Braun. Okay, that's why the Russian rockets were always so much better than ours. They got the best of the Nazis, and we got the dregs.
Speaking of rockets, you know Israel launched the rocket, the Ofek 3.
Yeah, that is a glaring vindication of what I've been saying in the book. Israel had to put up its own spy satellite because it can't trust the Americans. When we were giving the Israelis photographs, we'd cut away all the stuff on the borders from 50 miles away so that Israel couldn't attack the Arabs. But we gave the Arabs photographs of Israel. We even had a satellite downlink for Saddam Hussein in his war against Iraq and Iran. Okay? We would not give the Jews a downlink. So despite all the public support of the American people and Congress for Israel, and private, the intelligence agencies are on the side of the Arabs. And the Israelis know it.
Still today.
That's why they had no choice but to put that spy satellite up. Okay? They had no choice. Because they could not trust American intelligence to be on their side in any war with the Arabs.
Today, you have Senate oversight committees, you have Senate intelligence committees. Do they really get to the bottom of what's happening, or it's impossible?
The staffers I met in the intelligence community, I think that's a joke. These kids don't know the first thing about the intelligence community. I was explaining to one Senate aide how a system of diagraphs, and which is part of the code word system. He didn't even know the most fundamental things about the language that's used in the intelligence community. For 15 years now, the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, to which I belong, has been asking that there be a bipartisan joint committee. House and Senate get together, a secret oversight committee, where you don't have to beg the intelligence agencies, where you have staffers who have the appropriate clearances, can go in and look at the files and find out what's going on.
Any chance it'll happen? Probably not.
I don't know. We seem to be so slow in doing the right thing that we have let president after president and Congress after Congress get suckered into. And people blame the CIA. It's not the CIA. 90% of the people in the CIA are fine. They're good people who believe in the Bill of Rights. But you get political appointees, you've got other intelligence agencies, you get people like Vice President Bush setting up his own little private spy shop. It's a shell game.
What's the difference between the CIA and the NSA?
The National Security Agency is electronic intelligence. Wiretaps is the common phrase for it. They just collect the information. CIA analyzes it, or the Pentagon would analyze it, or the FBI, whichever agency.
Is there anything more secret than the NSA in this country?
Yeah, photo reconnaissance, the National Reconnaissance Office. Although it's now becoming known that such an office exists and that we have satellites that can literally spot an object the size of a golf ball or read the license plate numbers off a car from outer space.
Do the Russians have the same ability?
No, they just pretty much so. Sure, they have all our books and stuff. We had a spy ring called the Walkers. It sold a lot of the information. We had people that passed them a lot of the details.
How about the British today?
We share with the British, and that's caused some problems. Because Congress has always been very careful to say that we don't want to know information you get from the British. We know that's very sensitive. So it's been abused. It's the great black hole where major abuses have taken place, particularly towards Jews. I know this sounds incredible, but for the last 50 years, we've systematically wiretapped every major Jewish organization in the country.
You have proof of that?
Yeah.
How?
I received a written censorship order by the Reagan administration saying that the information I had discovered was so sensitive and so embarrassing to a foreign government that I could not be permitted to write about it, nor could I even explain to Congress that there is a way around the Bill of Rights. And here's how. That was in writing. The Clinton administration just reversed that censorship ban. Okay.
So who are the four or five best intelligence agencies in the world?
The Soviet military intelligence, GRU, is number one. There is no number two. No one else is close.
Is that right?
No,
they're better than the United States? Really? Yeah. How about the Germans?
No. They're a joke.
Mossad?
Used to be good, is now overtaken by events. The Mossad lost its network of human agents in the Middle East. They're way down the list now.
French?
No, the French steal business secrets. And the French probably... the CIA ranked them as the most heavily penetrated intelligence service. They had more I think they had 23 Soviet moles inside French intelligence at one time. Yeah.
Iran, just awful. Iran, Iraq, any of these guys?
You know, ironically, countries? They can be very, very effective because a fundamentalist religious movement depends on volunteer agents, much like the early Bolsheviks did, and that can have a devastating impact. Most of the technology now is spying is high-tech business. Photographs from outer space, bugging people's homes, and it's that's the most efficient part of it. I mean, you know, so we, for 50 years now, we bug Jewish. Well, we don't bug American Jews. We have British intelligence targets American Jews. Then the American officers use British equipment to bug British Jews, and we swap information.
And that's what we spoke about before.
Yeah.
So in the last 50 years, who can the Jewish people say really helped them the most? Al Haig?
There were a few people. They helped themselves. You've done the right thing. All the dirty tricks we pull on you, all the cheap spying, wiretapping your homes, selling your secrets to the Arabs, it didn't make a damn bit of difference. In the end, you've won.
Well, we've run out of time. You've seen a two-part series. Henry Kissinger, you're Jewish, so you may be bugged by the, what's it called?
The NSA.
The NSA. Be careful. And Cap Weinberg, you have Jewish blood, so you might be bugged also. No one knows. There's so much information, disinformation, that you don't know really where you wind up in this whole thing. So you got to read the book. It's called The Secret War Against the Jews. John will be back with us. We'll do a live show, first time in our history, do a live show. You'll have a call-in, and we will take questions. John Loftus and Leon Charney on the Leon Charney Report, which will conclude a three-part series by the Leon Charney Report of this very important document. It's not a document. It's a very important book on the history of Western civilization towards the Jews, Israel, etc., etc., etc. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, John.